colleague Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, writing most recently about the Kim visit to Russia and the weapon systems displayed, and also the question of Russia and China working together following a failure of Russia to land its Luna 25 on the surface of the moon, displaying one more time that Roscosmos has run into both quality control and disappointing launch cycle most recently. What we have now, though, is a question of a handoff to the Chinese space program. Rick, you have very carefully documented for me and others the Chinese space program. Is there competition between Roscosmos and the Chinese? And is this failure of Russia a signal that the future is passing to Chinese boosters? And what have they got?
Well, yes, John. The Chinese are close to completing all of the elements, not only to send unmanned probes to the moon, which they've demonstrated numerous times, but also to begin to send people to the moon. And when they start testing their Long March 10 space launch vehicle, probably in about 2026, they will then likely be ready to fulfill their public projections of being able to begin to put their people on the moon by 2029. Now, Russia, on the other hand, is hard-pressed to win their war in Ukraine. They need to go to impoverished and backward North Korea to get the artillery shells to begin to regain the offensive momentum in Ukraine. This war has already forced them to delay the development of their very large space launch vehicle that they were hoping to use to begin to send larger payloads and even people to the moon. The Russians have a lot of good engineer talent, and they've rolled out at least two moon architectures in the last 15 years. And I saw one of them at the Moscow Air Show back in 2007 and 2009. And the other one was on display at the Paris Air Show in 2019. So Russia has the talent to design moon bases, space launch vehicles, moon landers, and all of that, but they just don't have the money to put it all together.
Right.
And this war has made that situation worse. And with the crash of Luna 25, the Chinese are surely looking at them and wondering, okay, are we going to have to begin to treat Russia like we're treating Venezuela as a fully subsidized tourist for the moon? At least early on, the Russians really want, the Chinese really want the Russians to be an active participant here.
Right.
And they don't mind that the Russians have their own capability to get to the moon, because that just makes the International Lunar Research Center coalition that China is building, it gives it the appearance of being diverse and inclusive, if you will. But the Russians failing to pick up that responsibility to keep up appearances is probably very vexing for the Chinese. And on top of all of the expense of actually developing their own moon architecture and beginning to pay for missions to the moon, having to shoulder the added burden of paying for Russia to go there as well, at least in the early missions of the IR manned International Lunar Research Station, that must be causing some degree of angst and anger in Beijing.
Quickly, Rick, we have a Chinese launch with a Long March 3B, you report, of the largest imaging satellite ever put into orbit. What is this for? Is this war fighting? We have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, yes, it is. The Luditansi 04 launched on August 13. Is the largest synthetic aperture radar that has been placed into geosynchronous orbit. It has an antenna on it, John, about the size of a football field. That is very large for SAR satellites. And its altitude is such that it is kind of difficult to intercept. And the satellite is essentially running a figure eight orbit, stationary orbit, that takes it into China and then down into the Indian Ocean. And the coverage of the satellite means that it can be, every day, it's performing multiple orbits over future Asian theaters of conflict, especially the Taiwan theater. So from that altitude, China is initially getting a 20-meter level of resolution. But there will be improvements in software that will reduce or increase that resolution and make it even more militarily useful to the People's Liberation Army.
Rick Fisher is a senior fellow of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, writing not only about Kim's visit to the high-end arsenal of the Russian Federation, but also writing of the preparation underway right now to militarize the Indo-Pacific for a conflict. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.